The incident resulted in partial withdrawal of Confederation patrol craft from the immediate vicinity of Earth. It concerned one of the two astral craft which had been especially designed for oceanographic survey. During the exploration of the seabed, they discovered subterranean tunnels which led into large gas-filled caves. Explosions had already occurred there as a result of the reaction caused by the entry of seawater. These explosions could be the cause of some of our quakes or tremors. The craft was able to seal off some of the tunnels to prevent further explosions. Liaison was maintained with the patrol craft on station above Earth, which relayed data to the Confederation for analysis. On this occasion, the craft was able to seal off one of the tunnels in the Western Atlantic, so they decided to warn Earth authorities of the possible danger to the population nearby. The oceanographic survey craft emerged from the sea and flew to the nearest military base. While hovering high above the base, the craft made radio contact with the military officer in charge, who was advised of the possible danger. But the officer did not believe the communication and said, "We do not accept warnings from aliens." He then commanded the astral craft to surrender or he would be forced to destroy it. The Koldajan commander then replied that he would on no account surrender his craft. On seeing a flight of aircraft taking off with missiles plainly visible under their wings, he departed at high speed. Upon reaching station altitude, he reported to his superiors and was ordered to return to base. When this crew returned to Koldajan, a conference was convened at the main communications building and a report was issued. A mention appeared in a kind of magazine which Weaora had before him as he spoke. On the cover of this magazine is a beautiful picture of Earth, and underneath it the words, "Bear the beings of Earth no ill feeling, for in time to come they will learn the beauty of real peace." Inside are these words: "The Council has decided to withdraw patrol craft from Earth. The Council feels this wise as further patrols may endanger lives of crew. But Seton and Salamia have agreed to continue to patrol the magnetic fields around Earth and Melka." Weaora solemnly continued, "One that, my friends, is the position of our superiors. We are disappointed. We have lived at peace for more than 2,000 years and have no grasp for the meaning of violence, war and destruction. The Koldajans, who do not even use the word war, who live on a planet called peace, feel as if they had lost a friend. I hope that one day we can be accepted by Earth's policymakers. But personally, I am of the opinion that that will not happen in our lifetime. A pity. My friends, we must now leave for our patrol area. But before we leave, I want to express my gratitude to you for distributing tape-recorded copies of some of our radio transmissions. We know that there are those on your planet who are interested in such things." Nothing further was heard from the Confederation for 2 months. Then, one Saturday night, there was a radio transmission beamed in from a craft overhead to the receiver. It was Voldar who said, "We extend our greetings to you all. Weaora asked me to make this transmission for him as he is unable to be here. We have just completed a patrol to the Pyrrhelian system. It is nice to be back above your home, Edwin." Voldar then mentioned that the end of the year was approaching, 1968, for the inhabitants of Earth, and that they would like to add their Christmas and New Year greetings to messages of goodwill from Weaora, his wife and daughters, from the crew and also the staff of the waystation Melka. He also mentioned that they have a similar event which takes place on Koldajan during the 16th month, which is the last of the cycle there, when most of the population return to their homes and families to relax and share festivities. The main emphasis of this period is on the spiritual aspect of their lives, and celebrations take place at the Island of Paradise, where there are colored lights, many forms of amusement, musicians, actors and groups of dancers, even from other planets. All tastes are catered to and even delicious dishes from neighboring planets are served. Voldar said he liked the spacecraft displays best, with the teams of pilots from the far corners of the Confederation demonstrating their skills. These displays hold the many thousands of visitors spellbound for hours on end. It is a season when people from distant systems get together to exchange ideas. Comparing the festive seasons, Voldar said, "On Earth you pray for peace, while on Calder's we rejoice because the Creator has blessed us with it for another year. Little did he realize what events would befall them before the next year would come to an end, Voldar then told Edwin, his old Earth buddy, with great emotion, that he had fallen in love. Voldar and his fiancée were to marry at the end of the Caldesian year, in 3 months' time. He described her as the most beautiful woman on Calder's. But as he spoke of his forthcoming wedding, there were loud interruptions from his crew. Pay no attention to what my personnel are saying. I will continue, my loved one's name is Clive Ean. I cannot tell you how much I love her. I should like to tell you more about her. But Voldar was interrupted again and his voice was cut off. Greetings, Edwin. This is no Kyle speaking. I am Voldar's radio operator. I do hope you will forgive me for disconnecting our esteemed commander, but the personnel and I feel that we should tell you that from the time this ship left Calder's on patrol, our commander has spoken of nothing else except his loved one, so much so that we all feel we are about to be married. We would like to ask our commander if he intends to run from his beloved on his wedding day, for we all witnessed a strange sight on parole. We hope our commander's bride can run as fast as he. But joking aside, we all wish him great happiness for his future with his loved one. I will now reconnect you with him. Voldar now continued speaking, I thank you for your kind words. Rest assured, I do not intend to run on our wedding day. And now let me tell you, Edwin, about Clive Ean. She is tall, slim, fair-skinned, with blue eyes and beautiful cold Asian fair hair. Her parents live at a food research station in one of the loveliest areas of Calder's. The climate is fresh and invigorating. I spend most of my rest periods there and recently asked Clive Ean to become my wife. Soon we are to be married and we intend to have children. No Kyle interrupted again, this time with a remark in cold Asian which was lost on Edwin. Voldar retaliated by saying in English, yes, we do intend to have children. My personnel seem to think this is very funny, but the more I look at them, the more they remind me of the long-haired creatures swinging in the branches of trees on Earth. Although they are crewing this craft through the timeless tunnels of the two universes, reed dimensions, they have the brains of these creatures in the trees. But anyway, Edwin, this is Clive Ean's wish as well as mine. Before ending the transmission, which turned out to be the last Edwin received in 1968, Voldar spoke of the marriage custom. 11 days before the ceremony, the couple make a promise not to see each other until the day they are to be wed. During this time they must think deeply of the marriage laws. The most important one is to establish whether they love each other enough to take the marriage vow, which will bind them for life. As there is no form of divorce in their society, many elaborate tests are made to decide compatibility. Unless the couple satisfies all the requirements, they are not allowed to proceed with the marriage. A happy family with one or two children is the cornerstone of their way of life. As the year 1969 dawned on Earth, events changed Calder's and the way of life there. Time was running out for the planet called Peace. More than 2,000 years without war was to be cruelly ended by the time 1969 had passed on Earth. Although these beings travel in time as well as space, they have no knowledge of the future events in store for them. Voldar was his usual cheerful self as he made radio contact with Edwin early on Sunday, the 12th of January 1969. Greetings, my friends, he said, this is Voldar. As this is the first transmission in your new year, I would like to begin by bringing New Year greetings from my people on Calder's, my personnel and myself. I would also like to congratulate your planet on your spectacular space achievement. Apollo 8, the 21st of December 1968, the first manned lunar orbit mission of 10 orbits, you have now reached the stage when space travel is within your grasp. In time to come, your spacecraft will be traveling farther than your moon. I am very sad in a way that your planet has conquered the space between the planet and its moon. You see, we have a law that says, when a planet has conquered the space around it, then this space automatically belongs to that planet. This means that we have no right to enter this space unless we have permission to do so from the superiors that govern that planet. The space beyond your moon is still free space and any craft from any planet may fly through it. When I left Calder's, our superiors were discussing this development and we shall soon hear what they have decided. I hope we will still be allowed to visit your planet and transmit to you. Voldar then explained why there had been no radio contacts earlier. We, Aura and Voldar had been given permission to test two of the newest Cold Asian long-distance, interplanetary craft. It was necessary to test these craft under actual conditions in thin and dense atmospheres of various planets, as well as testing all the mechanic and electrical devices under operating conditions. Voldar was going to visit Salamia, Seaton, Byerkferv, and Byron and then return to Calder's. The Sonian 6th Patrol Division was to contact the QGI from time to time on the progress of the expedite. Voldar mentioned that Weora and his personnel were to it as they would be visiting some of the most beautiful systems in the Confederation. They would visit capital city of Grandor, which lies in a twin sun system. The other planets on his tour were to be Lycagoran, Spalan, Ven and Novn, which is the planet on the fringe of the Grandorian solar system. Grandorians are said to be the most highly evolved in the Confederation. Voldar said that one marvels at fantastic designs of spacecraft one sees there. Approaching Grandor in a ship, the main communicable center makes radio contact and instructs that all directional controls be set in neutral. Their main control center then takes over and guides the visiting craft safely through the atmosphere to land it at the spaceport. Chapter 5, Withdrawal from Earth. Events in 1969 started the Confederation on a new phase of disengagement from Earth, which took the succeeding 10 years to complete. In retrospect, it is clear the Confederation was pulling out because their mission to Earth had failed. 10 years earlier, Weora had been appointed to lead this mission, and it was with a sense of foreboding that he announced to Edwin's Q group in a radio transmission of 1 March 1969, that a fact-finding team of experts was to be sent here. Within 6 weeks of this announcement, a radical change took place. Weora said, "At this moment, a specially selected team is leaving Grandor for your planet. They will spend 3 of your Earth days observing it from the air. They will not land as they can carry out minute observations from the air. A close study will be made of the circumstances of the average inhabitant of the planet." Weora explained that the data collected would be presented to a tribunal of superiors and men of wisdom from the planets of the Confederation. Their decisions would be adhered to by all Confederation members concerned. Should they decide to withdraw craft, then regular transmissions would be curtailed or cease and only occasional radio contacts would be made. He assured Edwin that he and his group would not be completely abandoned. Weora said that he would personally ask permission to keep the Q group informed from time to time. To the surprise of the listeners, Weora then broached a subject which was to gain more emphasis in the years to follow. This was a plan to evacuate some of our Earth's inhabitants should the need arise. Weora said, "My friends, I know I have no right to ask you this question at this stage, for after all, I am an alien, but if at any time I were to ask you to leave your planet and accompany me to Calder's to make your home there, would you agree to do this? I realize this may come as a bit of a shock. I also realize that life on Calder's is very different from that on Earth. There are many things you would have to adjust to, but I feel that in time you would adapt to your new environment and be able to settle down. I will leave this matter with you for now, for who can tell what the future will bring? You must come of your own free will."